Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Vav. After we finish up discussing Hespedim and how to deal with someone who dies, the Gemara today's daf is going to primarily focus on three topics. First, we're going to discuss if a person is chayiv for violating the malachos of Chovel Umavir, wounding somebody or burning something, if they do it in a destructive fashion. Normally, Mekalkalin are pater. By any other malacha, if you do it in a destructive way, you're going to be pater because malachos are supposed to be constructive. But maybe these malachos of Chovel Umavir, since they're destructive by their very nature, you'd be chayiv even if you do them in a mekalkel way, because that's the optimal way to do these malachos. And the Gemara is going to explore what the makoros are for each position on mekalkel b'chovel umavir. Then the second topic is the Gemara is going to discuss trapping wild animals and birds in different types of enclosures, and it's going to deal with the stira between two sources, whether you're chayiv or not, when you trap chayos va'ofos in enclosures. And then the daf concludes with some more details about the malach of trapping, including a discussion of trapping incapacitated animals, and a discussion about trapping insects, including some details about trapping grasshoppers. So it's essentially, after we get through Chavul Mavir, we move on to the Malacha of Tseda, of Tzad, of trapping something, and we're going to go through a number of those details. But we are still on Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, about halfway through the wide lines on Kuf Hei Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, four statements about dealing with death, about dealing with someone who died. Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Shua ben Levi. Statement number one, Mishum bar Kapara. Kol ha-mora d'ma'os al adam kasher, anyone who sheds tears over an adam kasher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sofer u'manichon bebeis k'nazav. Hashem counts up those tears and puts them away in a secure place in his hiding spot. Shenemar, nodi safarta atasima d'masi benodcha halo b'safrascha. Second statement, anyone who is lazy about being maspid a chacham properly, roi lekovro b'chayev, deserves to be buried in his lifetime. Shenemar ve'yikbru oso b'gvul nachlaso b'tmuna sarach asher b'har afrayim mitzafon nahar ga'ash. Melamit sharagash alein har lohorgan. That teaches us that the mountain threatened, shook over them to kill them. Amar Rabbi Baraba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Third statement about dealing with people who died or a hesped. Kol Masasel Vespedel Shel Chacham Eino Ma'arich Yamin. Anyone who's lazy about being maspid a chacham is not going to have arichus yamin. Mida Kenegan Mida, and this is Mida Kenegan Mida. Shneamar Bisasa B'Shalcha Terivena. That it's an exact measure that Hashem will punish him. Eser Rabbi Chia Baraba, Rabbi Yochanan Vayavdu Ha'ames Hashem Kol Yimei Yoshua VeKol Yimei Azkenim. Asher ha'erichu yamim achre Yehoshua. Wait a second, how can you learn from Yehoshua that someone who's misabel, someone who's a misatzel bespedel shel chacham is not going to be marich yamim? The chacham that they were misatzel in this hesped was Yehoshua. And you know what happened? It talks about the zakenim asher ha'erichu yamim achre Yehoshua, that had arichus yamim after Yehoshua died. How did they have arichus yamim? Weren't they misatzel bespedel shel chacham? They were misatzel in Yoshua's hesped. Samalei Bavlai Yamim Arichu Shanim Lo Arichu. He says, no, there's a difference between Arichus Yamim versus Arichus Shanim. They had Arichus Yamim. Rashi explains, Shekol Yameim Betov. They had a good life, meaning even though it wasn't a very long life, it was a good life, and that's called arichus yamim. Kedamrin b'seidu yoma ki orech yamim mushnos chayim yosifu v'chiyeshcha shanim shal chayim v'shanim sheinim shal chayim. Right? What does it mean when it says that length of days and years of life will be added? Are there years that aren't of life where you're here on this earth? No, you only have years of life. Samar Blazar, Elu Shnosu Shaladam, Shemis Hapchos Lov Mira Alitova. Sometimes a person was supposed to have a bad year and he had a good year, that's a year of life. So Arichus Yamim refers to having a good time, doing well. Arichus Shanim is actually being here for a long time. Someone who's Mitzatzel Bespedel Shel Chacham may live to a ripe old age, may enjoy life, but he's not going to live to a ripe old age. So that's what it says by Yehoshua, that the Zakenim were Herichu Yamim, they were not Herichu Shanim because they were Mitzatzel and Bespedel Shel Chacham. Frak the Gemara, if that's the case, Leman Yirbu Yamechem Vimei Vinechem. Yom Veloshanim, when the Pasuk says, L'man Yirbu Yimeichem, Yimeivinechem, that you're going to have Arichus Yamim. So is that also only Arichus Yamim and not Arichus Shanim? So that's more Bracha Shiny. Now, when we talk about Arichus Yamim as a Bracha, as something that this is what you should have, we mean in its fullest sense. Both Arichus Yamim in terms of qualitative as well as the quantitative Arichus Yamim. But when we talk about what happened as a matter of fact, that the Zakenim war had we're not talking about giving them a bracha, we're describing what happened to them, so then it doesn't mean it in its fullest sense, we only mean that they were Erichu Yamim, but not that they were Erichu Shanim. So that's all about the third statement about dealing with Hespedo Shel Chacham. Now the final statement, if one of the brothers die, Yidagu Kala Achin Kulan, all of the other brothers should start to worry, everyone should be concerned. Echon Mimnei Chabura Shemes, Tidal Kala Chabura Kula. If one member of a group dies, then the rest of the group should worry about it. Armile Demes Gadol, Armile Demes Chaton. Some say that it always starts with the Gadol Shebechabura, others say it starts with the Katan Shebechabura. If you look at Rashi Demes Gadol, Yesh Lidog Hol Vesholta Midas Adin Barosh HaBayis, that the warning shot is given to the Rosh HaBayis, the one who runs the household, the one who's in charge, then everyone else in that group should be worried. And Amrila Demes Katan Shebeklala Maschilim Min HaKatan, that with curses we start with the Katan and then Hashem works his way up. But this line of Echem Nechabura Shemes Tidukal Chabura, while we're enticed to just view it as purely a statement of Agadita, you'll notice that there's a little aleph there, and it points you in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah to the Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel of Hilchos Avel, as well as the Shulchan Aruch, Yerdeya Simin Shin Sadi Dalet Sif Hey. This is quoted la halacha, that this is one of the chiyuvim after somebody dies, just like the previous statements were about Hesped. Hesped is a din, Hesped is a chiyuv. So this too is a chiyuv, that if one of the Achin or one of the Bnei Chabura is Nifter, it's a chiyuv on everybody else to that when someone dies, there's an obligation on those who are around him to have that be meaningful to them and to internalize what that means. Shulchan Aruch goes on to say also that how long do you have to worry for? Forever and ever. One member of the Chabura dies. I think the expression over there is that you have to view it as if there's cherev chodom, there's a sharp sword being seifa between your shoulders that's like threatening you, that's stretched out against your neck. How long should you feel like that? How long should a person feel threatened? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, I think, that I didn't have a chance to look it up, but I'm pretty sure it says in Shulchan Aruch that Nolad ben Zachar b'Osam Mishpacha, that if a male child is born into that family, then it stops. I think either a year or a male child born in, then it could stop even before that, before a year. That a male child is born into that family, that's the Nechama. That's the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer having Midas Hadin, then it's purely Midas HaRachmim. The idea of Hespedo Shel Chacham, it's interesting, with the emphasis in our Gemara is about who you're being maspid, that you're being masatzelin, hespedo shel chacham dafka. Why it should matter who you're being maspid is not so pasha. There is a sugi mesech Sanhedrin daf mem vav that discusses what the purpose of hesped is. Is hesped mishum yakra dechayi or mishum yakra deshichvi? Do we do hesped to honor the dead person, this yakra deshichvi, or we do hesped, no, not for the dead person, he's dead. What kind of mitzvah bid adam l'chaveri? You ever have a dead person? He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't feel the hesped. No, maybe it's yakra dechayi. You're doing it for the family of the deceased, that they should be honored through saying nice things about their relative. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. L'may nafkamin in that discussion? Can the chacham be moch? Can the mace, before he dies, be mochel the hesped? If he says, al yisbeduni, so do you listen to him or do you not listen to him? So if it's his own honor to be mochel, so then the mechila works. If it's the yakra dechayi, if it's the living people's honor, then the mechila doesn't work. It's not his to be mochel. Or what if the family doesn't want to pay for maspidim? It used to be they wouldn't just say a hesped, that they would pay for people, professional speakers, to be maspid. They would pay for mekonanim. They would hire people at funerals to wail and to cry and to do all sorts of, you know, just to scream out every once in a while, oi, you know, to give a certain mood to the funeral. It's a little foreign to us, but that's what they used to do. So they don't want to pay for it. So if it's yakar d'chayi, so they don't have to pay for it. But if it's yakar d'shichvi, it's their responsibility to pay for it. So our Gemara makes the assumption that there's a difference between a spedo shel chacham versus a spedo of other people. Shouldn't it make a difference whether it's a hasped of someone whose family is chachamim or if it's yakr d'chai? So the truth is, we paskin anyway that it's yakr d'shichli. We paskin that it's the honor of the deceased, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if someone says da al yisbeduni, Shulchan Aruch simshin mem dal, it says that if he says I don't want you to be maspid me, the halacha is that you're not maspid him. There's an interesting comment of the Sma over there on the side of Shulchan Aruch. The Sma says not only do you not have to be maspid him, it's usur to be maspid him, because mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. Whatever a dead person tells you, you have to do. If a person told you something, gave instructions before he died, you have to fulfill those instructions. The reason that that sma is very interesting is that if you look in the sugya in the Gemara at the end of the first parak of Maseches Gittin about mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames seems to be about dinei mamonos. It seems to be a kinyan. It seems to be that when someone before he dies says this money should go to that guy, so that money has to go to that guy. And that's it. Not about, you know, I want you to wear a blue shirt for the rest of your life because I think you look beautiful in blue. You know, just because he's dying, it doesn't make him think the Shavuos Yaakov has a lashon. It doesn't make him a Navi just because he's dying. He doesn't get the right to call every shot in the world. No, his own money. It's a dinah, Dina Yerusha. That he, just like Dina Yerusha, give him the right to give his money to his family, so he has the right to earmark certain money to other people. So the fact that the Sma uses it by Hesped is a very great Chiddush. Pashtos is, he uses it as a Melitza. It's just an expression. He doesn't really mean it as the technical mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, but that what kind of person would you be if you don't honor a dying request of a relative? Now, the Jewish history is full of great gedolim who asked that people not eulogize them, and then were ignored and were eulogized anyway, even though it's beferish and Shulchan Aruch and the Sma that you have to listen to them, that it's also to be masked with them. So the Pischi Tshuva in Yerodeh and Simshin Mem Dalet quotes from the Tshuva's Beis Yaakov, who says that when a Gadol Ador passes away and asks not to be eulogized, you're allowed to ignore the request. And the Tshuva Me'ava, Chelek Aleph Simon Kufayin Dalet, he says that he knows no concrete kula on this, but he knows that his Rebbe, the Nodeb Yehuda, gave a hesped for the Pnei Yeshua, even though the Pnei Yeshua asked not to be eulogized. So we're talking about big, big people who ignored these kinds of requests. Nodeb Yehuda justified it by saying that the halacha to honor the request of a dead person is suspended when you're dealing with the leader of the entire Jewish people. And the Rav Shlomo Eger in Sefer Ikrim says that he eulogized his father, Rabbi Kiva Eger, even though his father didn't want to be eulogized either. So maybe the idea is that when you're dealing with someone, Rav Chaim Michal Tukachinsky explains in Gesher HaChaim, in Parak Yud Gimel of Gesher HaChaim, that there are two aspects to a hesped. First, we honor the dead person by stressing his positive qualities. That's what we call hesped. And then the other element of it is by those who remain behind have to internalize what we lost. And that's what we call bechi, the crying. L'spol d'sara v'livkosa. Avraham Avinu did two things. Hesped and bechi. So a person is granted the right to forego the honor that's due to him, but that doesn't absolve the survivors of their obligation to appreciate what they lost. So maybe that's the svara over here, that the person could be mochel as hesped, but whatever is going to lead to bechi, that we still have an achrayus to try to fulfill. Okay, we're at three lines from the top. Kuvav Amid Aleph says the Gemara, V'kala makalklin paturin, any destructive act you are pater for on Shabbos. Tani Rabbi Vav Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, kol makalklin paturin, chutz michovel umavir. Not every time something's done destructively are you pater. With the malach of chovel, the malach of mavir, since they are by nature destructive acts, therefore you're going to be chayiv even if you do them in a destructive way. Now this idea of kol makalklin paturin is also discussed by the poskim to try to figure out exactly what the definition of kilkel is. Meaning, let's say something was worth more money, and after you're done doing the malacha, it's now worth less money. Is that necessarily called mekalkel? So in the Sefer Yerayim, in Siman Kuf Beis, he says that by Shabbos, when you do the malacha in a normal way, the way people do the malacha, even though it's worth less money, it's still called mesakin. It's not called mekalkel, just because it's worth less money. So a lot of things are worth less money after you do the malacha. If, let's say, you buy a raw piece of meat in the store, a cut of brisket or something, and then you cook it yourself. So you cook it, you like it, medium well. So you cook it to medium well and spice just the way you like it. Can you then go sell it for the same amount? Probably not, because someone who wants to buy it will want to buy something that he can make the way he likes, and that he can make, and once it's medium well, it's beyond, he wants it only medium rare. So it's ready now. But, so you're not in violation of the Malach of Bishul when you do such a thing? Of course you are. Of course, that's not called Mekalkel, even though it may be worth a little less money. So that would not be the definition of Mekalkel. The Shubas Radvaz talks about the Radvaz, Chelik Dal Simkov Lamaral, talks about, let's say a person ate pomegranates or something that has like whose juices are very colorful, and his fingers are dirty. Then he wipes his hands in a cloth napkin. Has he violated the melacha of tzoveya? So is it maybe? So he says maybe no, you're not in violation of tzoveya because it's mekalkel. You didn't make the napkin more beautiful. You made the napkin dirty. He says kol mekalkel p'turin. They're not mutter. So why are you allowed to do that? So he says we never heard that anyone's machmer in this. I don't know why, but we never heard anyone's machmer in such a thing. It's got to be mutter. That's not called the melacha at all. That's not even called tzoveya. It's not called being tzoveya, even though a color is now added to the cloth that wasn't there before, and it's really strong on the cloth. It's not called tzoveya. That's called lichluch. That's called dirtying something. And there's a difference between tzoveya and lichluch. How do you? What's the gedder? What's the difference? You just have to figure it out. That's called something became dirty. It's not called that you were tzoveya something. So figuring out exactly what's mekalkel is not so easy. But anyway, so Rabbi Avos says that chovel umavir is chayiv even when done in a mekalkel way. Amar Leh, so he said to him, Puk Tani Levra, go teach that outside the space medrash. We don't want that kind of teaching around here. Chovel umavir ain't a Mishnah. This statement about chovel umavir doesn't belong over here. It's ain't a Mishnah. Even that if you're mekalkel b'chovel umavir, you're pater. Vim tam lon Mishnah. And if you want to say that chovel umavir is Mishnah, that you want to say that it is reliable, chovel b'tzorich lekalbo, mavir b'tzorich la'afaro. That the case is when you're chovel and there is some productive need for it. Why are you being chovel? Because you need the blood that you're drawing for your dog, because your dog likes to eat the blood. Or mavir, why are you burning something? Bitzarek lafaru, you need the ashes that you're producing, therefore it's considered some sort of tikkun. But doesn't the Mishnah say that every mekalkel is pater? Sounds like even chovel umavir. So we're asking now in Rabbi Avo, right? Rabbi Avo is the one that said that. That kol mekalkel p'turin chutz mi chovel umavir. But in our Mishnah it says kol mekalkel p'turin without any exceptions, without any chutz. It's all pater. Answers the Gemara. Masnis and Rabbi Yehuda. Bryce Rabbi Shimon. It's a machlokas for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon whether mekalkel b'chovel umavir is pater or chayiv. Where do we have such a machlokas? If you look at Rashi, Masnis and Rabbi Yehuda, the isle mekalkel b'chabura pater. Rabbi Yehuda holds mekalkel b'chabura is pater, that if you wound in a destructive way, it's like every other mekalkel in every other melacha where you're pater. Says Rashi, only one problem. Lois Parish Hecha. You can look up and down all the Mishnayos and Masechah Shabbos. You're never going to find where Rabbi Yehuda says this. Where do we find that Rabbi Yehuda says mekalkel b'chabura is pater, and Rabbi Shimon says mekalkel b'chabura is chayiv? So says Rashi, I think what we're referring to when we say Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is the following. V'li nira masnisin Rabbi Yehudahi, the most famous Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in the entire Masechta, Malacha Shein Etzricha Lagufa. D'amr Malacha Shein Etzricha Lagufa Chayev Aleha. That the Rabbi Yehuda Shita that we're referring to over here is the Shita that you're Chayev when you do Malacha Shein Etzricha Lagufa. Hilkach Yuvah D'chovel B'tzarech L'kalbo Mavir B'tzarech La'afaro Mishkachasla. When do you find the chiyuv for chovel? When it's tzarech lekalbo or tzarech lafaro, meaning when it's tzarech lekalbo, tzarech lafaro. That will be, even though it's destructive, but you have some reason why you're doing it, that's enough to be a mechayev you. That will be the mekalkulates a malacha atzma, even though the act itself of the malacha that you're doing is destructive, mesakin hu eitz al acherim. It still has some element of tikkun to it. And Rabbi Yehuda would say that's enough to be called the Malacha. Mishum tikkun acherim. The fact that it has some side benefit is enough to be called the Malacha. Why does he think a side benefit is enough to be called the Malacha? Because just like Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa means you're doing the Malacha for a different purpose than it was done in the Mishkan. But you had some purpose in doing it. It just wasn't the same purpose. You don't need it to be the same purpose. As long as there's some side benefit, side tikkun, that's good enough. avon mekalkel ve'inu mesakin potter. But if you're completely mekalkel, there's no benefit whatsoever, then you're potter. V'yafgav the reish of the masnisan ukimda k'Rabbi Shimon diktani k'areal meso potter sefer Rabbi Yehuda. And even though the reish of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, we assume the sefer is going like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mishnah that says that a person is chayiv for chovel mavir, if there's some constructive benefit to it, assumes like Rabbi Yehuda that amlach hashem tzrich leguf is chayiv, because both of those positions hold, take into account that a side benefit that comes from doing a malacha is meaningful. The brisa that holds that a person is chayiv for chovel mavir that are done destructively would assume like Rabbi Shimon that amlach hashem tzrich leguf is pater, because he maintains that we don't take any side benefits into account. So says the Gemara, my time is Rabbi Shimon. What's the svara for Rabbi Shimon? What's Rabbi Shimon's source to hold that you're chayiv for chovel mavir if you do it completely destructively, even though mekalkel is potter by every other malacha? Why would chovel mavir be different? So the isra kol the mishra mila hachovel be'al mechayiv. Because the implications from the fact that we need the Torah to dafka tell me that you're allowed to do a bris mila on Shabbos, the implication therefore is that typically by chovel, the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to tell me that bris mila can be performed on Shabbos obviously assumes that normally it's usher to wound on Shabbos. And similarly, mida usher achmana havara gabi bas kohen shramna mavri bi'al mechayiv. From the fact that the Torah doesn't allow burning a bas kohen who committed adultery, the bas kohen who commits adultery gets a different onesh than a regular person who commits adultery, so she's chayiv sreifa. But the fact that the Torah tells me that you're not allowed to burn a bas kohen who committed adultery must be an indication that generally mavir is chayiv. That's why it's a violation of Shabbos to burn her, because Mavir is going to be chayiv. That's the source for Rabbi Shimon. How's Rabbi Yehuda going to respond? Rabbi Yehuda, hasa mesakin hu kid Ravashi. Dam Ravashi, mali lesakin mila, mali lesakin kli. Mali levashal psila, mali levashal samanim. He would say that both by the case of bris mila and by the case of burning the lead wick for sreifas paskoin, the way they would do sreifas, they wouldn't just burn a person at stake, they wouldn't just burn a person alive. They would burn lead and molten lead and force open their mouth and pour the lead down their mouth, down their throats, to burn their insides out. So it's the burning of the lead that we're talking about. So both in the case of the bris mila and the case of the burning of the lead wick for sreifas bas kohen, they're both considered to be constructive acts. Because by the mila, what difference does it make if you're fixing a human body or you're fixing a kli? You did something constructive. You fixed it. You fixed the person. And by bishul psila as well, what difference does it make what you're cooking? You're cooking something. So if you cook something, that's it. So our whole discussion is about chovel mavir. Tosfos raises the issue by every time you're shochet something, it's mekalkel. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Ches says sakin shel avodah zara mutar lishchutba, that a knife of avodah zara you're allowed to use to shecht. Why are you allowed to use to shecht? Because it's not called that you're being nana from the avodah zara, you're doing something destructive. Shechting is called destructive. So Tosfos points out, no, when it comes to Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be moda that it's only by avodah zara that we consider mekalkel, that we consider shechita to be mekalkel, because the pasuk says liyidbak biyadchem menacherim. So it's not called that you're nana because the destructive act outweighs any tikkun that you're doing. Whereas by Shabbos, it's going to be different. By Shabbos, it's going to be considered shechita is going to be considered constructive. This is the Taz in Yarden, some Reish Chafal of Sifkat Mem Beis attacks the Ramah. The Ramah over there says that if someone is mudra ana mechavero, mutra lishkol do behema bria. If you're not allowed to get hana from your friend, he's still allowed to shecht for you a healthy animal, because it's a hana gedola. The Taz says, wait a second, hana, what are you talking about? It's hana gedola. It's a great hana to shecht for him. He's being matya the meat ba'achila. Every day we hire people, we pay people for a living. They shecht. So how could you say that it's not called any hana whatsoever? It's tafka be'avodah zara that we say that be for the isra of avodah zara on the knife. It's not called that you're getting hana. And the Taz is right. It's from our Tosos that it's tafka be'avodah zara, but not by inyanei Shabbos, and therefore not by inyanei nedarim either. Okay, there is also this comment that the Gemara has from the fact that we're aser havar by a bas kohen, so we see mavir bi alma is chayiv, right? So the idea of giving someone an onesh misa on Shabbos. So what's the issue? You just don't give an onesh misa on Shabbos? Is that what's aser? Or is it any sort of onesh? The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perech of Dalet, Alach Zayin writes, Ein onshin b'Shabbos. We don't give punishments on Shabbos. Afal pishonish mitzvah saseh, eino docha Shabbos. Even though an onesh is a mitzvah saseh to give an onesh, it's not going to be docha Shabbos. And the Rambam says, ketzad, hareish enishayev bebezdin, malkus o misa, ein malkus o ven misa naso b'shabbos. That sheneemar lo sevaruish b'chol moshu seichem b'yom ha-shabbos. And says the Rambam, v'hu hadin l'shar onshin. The same is going to be true by every other onesh. It's not only havara v'bas kovid, it's not only misa, any onesh, we just stay away from doing it on Shabbos. The Magen Avraham points out that if you look in the Rambam in the Minyan of Mitzvos, Magen Avraham in Shemam Tassiv Kut and Gimel, it sounds from the Rambam Minyan of Mitzvos that this is only for things that involve Chil Shabbos, that ain't onshin b'Shabbos, that it's not by things that, and that's what the Gemara implies by Havara, meaning the Gemara's whole diuk is that Havara must be a Malacha, otherwise why would it be Asar on Shabbos? What do you mean? If there's a din of ain't onshin b'Shabbos, it doesn't have to be a Malacha, you just don't give any onshin on Shabbos. So that's a discussion exactly what the Rambam means and the seeming stira between the Mishnah Torah and the Sefer HaMitzvos. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. Now we're at the two dots right before the Mishnah. Shir HaMalabin. So he said the Shir of Malabin and many of these other Malachos was Melosit Kofel, was the twice the distance between your middle finger and your pointer, your etzba, when you hold them as far apart from each other as they can be held. So what is the exact shear? So Rav Yosef Machvi Kafel, Rav Chia Bar Ami Machvi Pashut. When they would show what the shear is, Rav Yosef would hold those two fingers, like the V, apart from each other, and he would say twice this. If twice this is the shear. But Rav Chia Bar Ami had a different way of showing the same shear, but the way he would demonstrate it was by holding his thumb and his pointer apart from each other, and that's the same thing as double the distance on most people. Some people, I don't know if it always works, because some people have different levels of dexterity and different fingers are able to stretch a little more. I could certainly stretch my thumb much further than double that, but the basic idea, it's roughly the same. So that's how he would demonstrate what that shear is. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer had sad sipra the migdal utzvila bayis chayv. Now we move on to the malacha of tseida, the rest of the daf, about the malacha of trapping on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda holds, if a person traps a bird into a closet, a deer into a house, he's chayv for trapping. The chachamim omrim, but the chacham say, tsipra the migdal utzvi legina uluchatsu lebebarin. The Chum say, even if the deer is trapped into a larger area, like a garden or a courtyard, a person is going to be chayv. Bebarin are different enclosures, so even trapping a tzvi into a larger area, your chayv doesn't have to be trapped into a tiny little area. Rameshum Gamliel Omer, lo kala bebarin shavin. What does the word bibar mean? That it's an enclosure? Not every single enclosure is the same. Some are larger, some are smaller. Zeaklal, if you want a rule for tzeda, the rule is as follows. Mechusar tzeda pater, sheina mechusar tzeda chayv. Anything that, if you want to grab it still, it would still involve an act of trapping, well then, getting it to the point where it is now was not an act of trapping, because you still need to trap it if you want to catch it. So if you bring a fly into this room, let's assume there was a melacha of tzeda on flies, we'll get to that later, but you bring a fly into this room, so yeah, you trapped it in this room, but how are you going to get it now? You still need to trap it. So putting it in this room is not a melacha of tzeda, because it's not yet trapped. But if anything does not require tzeda anymore, then getting it to that point involved the melacha of tzeda. So meaning to lunge after, if you still need to take more than one lunge after it to get it, so then it's not going to be called tzeda. So that's the question that the Achronim deal with. The first Mishnah, the next parak in tomorrow's daf, says the Shemona Shratzim Amurim B'Torah at Sadan V'Achov Ben Chayiv, that the 8 Shratzim that are listed in the Torah as having a din of a Sheretz, you're Chayiv for trapping them. The way we typically translate one of the names of the Shemona Shratzim is a turtle. Turtle is not really Mechus or Tzeda ever. You could always just pick it up. It doesn't really move. It's as slow as a turtle. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman says we must be mistranslating it. It doesn't fit the Malach of Tzeda. Others say no. That maybe if there are types of turtle that are in the water that involve some effort. Meaning they don't move very fast, but it involves effort to actually go and gather them and get them. So that's why it's called Mechusar Tzeda. That and at the heart of that dispute is whether the Murex trunculus zman hazeh might be the chilazon. One of the major tainas against the mirror striking the snail being a chilazon is that we talk about sad chilazon, trapping a chilazon on Shabbos. It's a snail. It doesn't move that quickly. So what do you mean sad chilazon? So some say that's a raya, that it can't be the right chilazon because it does the samuchus etzeda. Whereas others would say, no, how do you get it? It's at the bottom of the ocean, meaning it doesn't just come up on shore. It's at the bottom of the ocean. So the only way to get it is by setting traps in the ocean, either scuba diving, which they didn't have scuba gear, or by setting traps in the ocean for long periods of time and then picking up the traps and knowing how to deal with them. So that itself is an act of tzeda. Okay, so that's all part of that discussion. Says the Gemara, Tznan Hasam, Ein Sadin Dagim Min HaBeibarim B'Yomtov. You can't trap Dagim from an enclosure on Yantiv. Vein Nosan L'Fnei Mizonos. And you're not allowed to put Mizonos in front of them. You're not allowed to feed them. Why not? Says Rashi, because they're Muktzah. So you're not allowed to be Toreach for something that's Muktzah. Tosa says, Ein Miraklal, that I don't think Rashi's correct at all about this. Tznan L'Kaman Perik Basra, Nosan Mayim L'Fnei Avazim V'Tarnagolim L'Fnei Yonei Adres. So there are lots of mukta animals that you're allowed to put food in front of. Avgav the mukta in Hain b'Shabbos. So Venira Laritos says, I think that the reason why you're not allowed to put food in front of them is called Hechada v'Kenitzod v'Omed Mida Oraisa. Gon v'Avazin v'Tarnagolim v'Yonei Adresoyes v'Avgav the Midarabanan Asal Tzodan v'Nanim Perak Shemana Shratzim Chayev Ovshir b'Rishuso Hatzodan Pater Mashma Avol Aser Kivin Domen Oraisa Kenitzod v'Omed Noslam Fnei Mezonos V'Chein Chayev Ov. Anything that's considered already trapped is considered mezonosav alecha, that it's your job to feed them. If it's your job to feed them, you're allowed to feed them on Shabbos. But anything that's ein mezonosav alecha, anything that's not your job to feed, you're not allowed to feed on Shabbos. So something that's mechusar tzeda, you're not allowed to feed on Shabbos. That's the problem with the feeding the fish, a tashlich, right? It's not mezonosav alecha. It's an animal that's not your job to feed, so you shouldn't go feeding the animals. So anyway, avot sadin chayva of nosan fnei mezonos, but you could trap a chayva of on yantif, because chayva of that you want to eat on yantif, you could trap, and then you could even put mezonos, could even feed them. Or a minu beibarin shel chayas v'shal ofas v'shal dagim. Ein sadim and biyomtov ve'ein nosan l'fnei mezonos. So beibarin of chayos and ofos and fish, you're not allowed to trap from them on yantif, and you're not allowed to feed them. Kasha chaya chaya, kasha ofos ofos. So it's a double contradiction, because the Mishnah holds it's mutter to trap wild animals and birds from enclosures of yantif. The Brisa holds it's usher to trap them. So it's on both of these animals, both wild animals and birds. So bishlam chaya chaya lokasha, says Gemara, the stira in chaya is not a stira at all. Ha Rabbi Yehuda ha Rabbanan, it's machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. The Brisa is like Rabbi Yehuda that you're potter for trapping into a large enclosure. The Mishnah seems like the Rabbanan in our Mishnah that we held that you're chayiv even for trapping into a larger area. That was the machlokas in our Mishnah. Ofos ha-ofos kasha, but the stira in birds is a kasha. The chitema, and if you're going to say ofos ha-ofos namilo kasha, ha-beber makura, ha-beber she'ena makura, it depends whether the enclosure has a roof on it or not. Va-bayis to makuruhu, obeyin rabbi lebein the rabbanan, sipra lemigdal in le-bayis lo. But a bayis has a roof on it, and yet everyone holds that you're not allowed to trap a bird into a bayis. So don't tell me that's the answer to all the problems by just saying that it depends whether it has a roof or not. So Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, Hacha Betzipor Drora Skinon, Lefishena Mekabelis Maros. Now the answer with the story about the bird, the contradiction about trapping the birds, can be answered is that we're dealing with a wild bird, Tzipor Dror, that doesn't, is not Mekabelis Maros, is not easily going to be controlled. Detan Debe Reb Shmuel, Lama Nikra Shma Tzipor Dror, Neshedara Bebayis Kebesada, that it lives in the house like it does in the field. So once we get to this, so the stira and chaya also could be answered very easily. The Brisa spoke about trapping the chaya in a large enclosure, and the Mishnah spoke about trapping it in a small enclosure, and that answers that stira. So we use these terms, large, small, everything is relative. Hechi dami beber gadol, hechi dami biber katan. What does it mean? What's the difference between a biber gadol and a biber katan? How do you define what's called large, what's called small? So the Gemara gives three possible definitions to what's called large and what's called small. Am Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says as follows: Kol hech de rahit basrei umatila b'chad shichya veber katan v'idach veber gadol. If you can reach the animal in a single lunge, it's considered a small enclosure. If it takes more than one lunge, then it's a large enclosure. Inami kol hech de nafil tulu duksalim adadi veber katan v'idach veber gadol. If the shadows of the walls reach each other, then it's considered a small enclosure. That the walls are high enough and close enough to each other that the shadows of one wall reach the other. That's considered a small enclosure. Anything else in that is a large enclosure. V'inami, third possibility, kolheich deleko uktzi uktzi biber katan v'idach biber gadol. If there aren't too many small corners that an animal will be able to hide in, it's considered a small enclosure. But if there are lots of small corners that the animal will be able to hide away in, then it's considered a large enclosure. These aren't necessarily arguing with each other about the definition. They all might be true. These all might be the definition of a small enclosure and large enclosure. That last one is very interesting. That what? Because it could hide in a small corner, but it's a tiny little room. It's not going to take too many lunges to get to it. But the point is that it's a hassle to get to it, because it's in some tiny little area, similar to being, let's say, at the bottom of the ocean, where maybe it's not the fastest animal, and it's not going to be, you know, once you're next to it, you can pick it up, but it's a hassle. It's a hassle to get all the way there. That line seems to be very much in line with the idea that it's not about the speed of the animal. If you have a turtle at the bottom of the ocean, or a Murex trunculus snail, that l'chora, that would still be called an action of tzeda, an act of trapping. The Mishnah quoted Rav Shmuel Gamliel that not every baber is the same. It depends whether it's mechutzer tzeda or not mechutzer tzeda. Am Rav Yosef, Am Rav Yudah, Am Rav Shmuel. Halach Rav Shmuel Gamliel. We pass like Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Am Le Abai Halach Mechal De Pligi. Wait, you're saying that you pass like Rav Shmuel Gamliel? That makes it sound like someone argues on him. He just gave the rule that encapsulates everything. Who argues? What difference does it make to you who argues? I already said the halacha follows him anyway. So does it really matter if anybody argues on him? So I'm like, Gemara, Zmar Tatei. What, you think the Gemara, our tradition, learning our traditions and the multiple perspectives in our Mesorah is just like singing a song, that it doesn't make a difference? I mean, when you learn Machloket Beisham Beisil, what, do you say Shitas Beisham, it doesn't matter because we don't paskin that way anyway? No, it's important to know the opposing Shitas as well. And if there ever was anyone that held that there was an opposing shita, that means that it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah both to learn the shita that we paskin like la'alacha and the shita that we don't paskin like la'alacha. Plus the Mishnah Idios says that we need to learn the shitos that we don't paskin like, so that if someone in a later generation is going to come and say, oh, I have a chap, why don't we say it like this, and he says like a shita that we don't paskin like, we could say you're not the first person to think of it, someone else thought of it already and we rejected it already. Tan Rabbanan, we have a brayso as follows. Hatzad svi suma v'yashin chai. If a person traps a blind or sleeping deer, he's chayiv. That's called trapping. Chigir v'zaken, but if it's crippled or old, v'cholo, or sick, pater, then you're pater because it's already considered to be trapped. Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef, maishnahani, maishnahani. What difference does it make whether it's old, sick, or crippled versus sleeping or blind? So hani avidu l'rbuyi, hani lo avidu l'rbuyi. Sleeping or blind deer might wake up and run away, whereas the other ones can't go anywhere. V'atanya chol l'chayiv, but don't we have a seer? Another brisa that tells us that for a sick deer, you are chayiv for trapping it. So Rav Sheish lo kash, it all depends on the illness. Ha b'chol machmas ishta, ha b'chol machmas uvtsana. If it has a fever, so then you're chayiv for trapping it, because it will feel a little better and run away. But if it's very lackadaisical, it's very tired, so then you're not going to be chayiv for trapping it. Tan Rabbanan, hatzad chagavin gazin tsarin v'yitushin. A person traps different types of grasshoppers, insects, hornets, mosquitoes. V'shabbos chayiv divrei meir. Meir holds you chayiv for trapping those types of things on Shabbos. The Chum omrim, the Chum say no. And with this, how we paskin kol shebemino nitzod chayiv, kol shein bemino nitzod pater. Anything that it's normal to trap something of that min, you're chayiv for trapping. If it's not normal to trap something of that min, then you're pater. Who traps mosquitoes? That's not a normal thing to trap when you want a mosquito. You don't want mosquitoes, so therefore you're going to be pater. Tanya ida chatzod chagovin b'shas hatal pater. If you trap grasshoppers, let's say kosher grasshoppers to eat, so it's a normal item to trap. But you trap it at a time of the dew where the chagov can't see; it's blinded. So then you pater because it doesn't take much to trap it. So b'shas hasherev chayiv. But if it's a time of heat where the grasshoppers are flying all over the place, so then it's going to be chayiv because that's a real act of trapping. Elazar ben Mavayi omer im hayu makalchus ubos pater. If the grasshoppers are swarming all over the place, then you're pater. What does that mean? Is he going on the Resha, where we just said that when it's the time of dew, you're always putter? And Rabbi Elazar ben Mavai is therefore coming and saying, no, if they're swarming and it's a time of dew, you're putter, but if they're not swarming, you're going to be chayiv? Or is he going on the Seifa, where it said that when it's a time of heat, you're chayiv? And Rabbi Elazar ben Mavai says, nah, not if they're swarming. Even in a time of heat, if they're swarming, you're going to be putter. So which is it? So Tashema, we have explicitly what he says. Hatzad chagav b'shas hatal, putter. A person traps a grasshopper at a time of dew, he's putter. B'shas hasherev, at a time of heat, chayiv. Elazar ben Mavai omer, afil b'shas hasherev, even at a time of heat, you're not always chayiv. Imayu mekalchos uba'os, putter. If they're swarming all together and they're piled up all over the place, you're still going to be putter because they're so easily, readily accessible to us. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue on the Malach of Tzad with the two Mishnayos at the bottom of Kufav Amin Beis.